Tom Fazio and the organization has some history here at this fantastic Bonita Bay Club. How honored are you to be back on the property all these years later doing all this work?
Oh, it's cool. Thank you for the question. Yeah, Tom Fazio was hired here in 1994. We actually started doing plans for an additional facility for the club to build two golf courses on a separate facility out of Mockalee Road, about 8 miles from the main campus here at Bonita Bay Club. So there are three Art Hills golf courses here on the main campus, started in 1985. A lot of development space here. They had more members that could join and live here than they had tee times available, so they needed a second facility. So we built two golf courses, one that opened in 96, the Cypress, and then the Sable Golf Course opened in 98. And we're received well, and the members have enjoyed those golf courses. And now it's 2020 when we, you know, get back involved and trying to help the club look at replacement of infrastructure. It was time for new irrigation system. The pipe had been in the ground a long time. It was time for new greens. It was time for new bunkers. So we were fortunate to ask to help the club. What else could we do other than just rebuild the infrastructure? So we formed a member-based master planning committee. We had the golf committee, the green committee, board members. We had women from the 9-hole ladies group, the 18-hole ladies group, and we got together and went through a year-long process, 4 visits by our company, 2 days each, where we would meet together and literally walk the golf course and talk about what could be done to make each hole better. They love the golf course, but in an opportunity when you're going to be replacing infrastructure, what else could you do? So with the rainy seasons that are part of golf here in Southwest Florida, the facility would be damp and the ball wouldn't roll. So we decided to lift the golf course higher above the water table because we're adjacent to wetlands and natural settings all over this property, close to the Everglades, where, you know, the state controls the water elevations and tries to rehydrate the wetlands, so it's hard to dry the golf courses up. So we dug 6 new lakes, lifted the Cypress golf course up 18 inches higher, brand new drainage system, 450 catch basins, miles and miles of drainage pipe that was installed to pull the water out of the soil into a gravel French drain with a perforated pipe, get the water into a pipe, and pull the moisture out of the soil. So the golf course that we got to play today was very firm, very dry. The ball rolls and rolls. And so that was a big part of the cost of going at the golf course again by earthwork. 200,000 cubic yards of soil was moved to lift the golf course higher and put in the new 450 catch basins and all this pipe. So that was a big part of it. And then the game has changed. The ball in the club has changed. It's basically, since we opened the golf course, the driving distances on the PGA Tour from 1996 to 2023, it's a yard a year. If you look at the statistics, it's a yard a year in terms of how much farther the ball is going. So the bunkers were placed at 800 feet off the tee from the back tee, 266 yards when we built the golf course, because that was the landing area of the game's best players at the time. Now we're the carry point on the ball is 300 yards, 320 yards, 340 yards off the tee. So we had to reset all of the bunkers further down the hole because the game's changed. The holes that we could lengthen, we took the tee back. The holes that we couldn't lengthen, we moved the bunker to 320, 340 off the tee. So that's a big change. And part of this was a bunker reduction, too, to help with maintenance on the facility. We had over 70 bunkers before, and now we're at 50 bunkers. But they're big bunkers, and they're large, and they're in play, and they're, you stand on the tee, and they're ominous, and you see them, and they're moved from the left rough and the right rough, and they're moved to the interior on the angle, on the bias. Some of the bunkers are even close to where you'd have to say, well, if I hit my driver, I'm going to go into the bunker. Maybe I shouldn't hit driver. Maybe I should lay up. So that we did that on purpose. We did that on purpose as a design goal to try to grab the attention of the game's best players with the brand new equipment. The ball flies so straight, they can play a 25, 26-yard U.S. Open with golf course and hit the ball in the fairway. because the equipment is so good. So you got to move the bunkers in tighter and angle them. So I think all the golf architects are looking at the lack of regulation of equipment in our lifetime, with the ball just going farther and farther and farther. And at some point, you got to say, we need to roll the ball back, or we got to move the bunkers in and, you know, shut down the lines of play a little bit, because you can't keep making golf courses longer and longer and longer. The tour plays some events at close to 8,000 yards, and the guys shoot under par. So it isn't how long the golf course is, it's how wide the golf course is, and putting the bunkers in the play spaces, narrowing the dimensions up, making them look at the bunker, react to the bunker. And then as you walk through this golf course today, the Cypress course we played, every hole you've got to, like, okay, where am I going to hit the ball and stand on the tee? So that was a big part of this renovation. And then the thing that everybody remembers about this golf course now is the shaved down low-mo turf around the greens and in the approaches. Basically, we built brand new greens, lifted them up into the air, and then we took all the soil around the outside of the green, lowered it down 6 inches, put drainage pipe under the surrounds and the approaches, pipe everywhere to pull the water out of the soil. We put greens mix, 88%, 12% profile, greens mix in the approach, in the surrounds. So now the water just goes right through that material and it's firm and dry. The ball can hit and release. And you don't get to do that much in Florida golf, where the approaches are always kind of damp. And if you hit the ball, the approach, it might stick and it won't hit and release. You know, not at the Cypress course, not anymore. It's very firm. The ball, you can, if the pin's in the front of the green, you can hit the ball to the approach and roll the ball onto the green. And that's a nice opportunity for the members to enjoy the game. And again, it's a members club. The average age of the membership at this club is 73 years old. So we're rolling the ball. We're rolling the ball a lot and trying to help them enjoy golf, enjoy the game. We built shorter tees. We put 7 tee platforms, had a 4,500-yard forward tee. First time we've ever done that. And now we have a golf course that is from the seventh tee forward to the back tee, there's a 3,000-yard spread on the scorecard in 500-yard increments. So that's unique. That, a lot of clubs don't have that. So I think what you see in this golf course, it's like we try to do everything we could to drier, firmer golf, more strategic, more tee options, play the golf course wherever you want to play it, fun and fast and firm around the greens, and see the back of the ball around the green on a tight lie, and putt the ball, chip the ball. You know, who wouldn't like that? You know, it's a lot of fun. It's not that hard to play. It really isn't. I think it's enjoyable. It's fun. You can score if you can start to learn these shots around the green, because the ball is releasing and it is firm and you can putt.
Options, Tom, it's about options. Yes. Pete Dye told me that once. He said the 10th hole on the river course, he says the best par 4 I ever built, because there's 4 ways to play it. He says that's what golfers like. They got options. Yes. Now, on the Cypress course, what you did here is it seems like you gave the golfers around the green options. You can putt. You can chip. You can hit flops. But you have plenty of different ways, once you get into those complex, to play those greens.
Yes, sir, exactly. And that's a style of golf that, you know, is reminiscent to Australia. If you've ever been to Australia and get to play all the golf courses there, I had an opportunity to went to Sydney and played all the golf courses around Sydney, and then got on a plane and went to Melbourne. And the way they mow the grass in Australia is just like you saw today on the Cypress course. It's collar height from the green out to the lip of the bunker. There's no rough around the bunker. The turf is shaved down tight. And they have shaved down low-mow turf all the way around the greens. Every course in Australia is like that. And the Australians would say to us, why don't you Americans cut your grass around the greens? We play off a tight lie. You play out of the rough. The Australians have been doing this for over 100 years. And so that is it's a lot of fun. And I think we're trying to, the architects in our country now are starting to bring that style of golf to America. And there's a lot of golf clubs that these low-mo shaved down areas have kind of caught on. They didn't exist in the 80s in America. There wasn't one golf course in the country that did this in the 80s. So this is a ball that started in the early 90s. We slowly see it creep into the game. And it's, again, Augusta National. The greens are elevated. It's low-mo turf, shaved-down turf, one height of cut through the golf course. Piners, number two, one height of cut.
I was going to say, Donald Ross would be proud if he was able to walk these fairways today, because people are pulling the putter out from around the green like they do on number two over in Pinehurst. And,
yes.
And you mentioned Augusta, too. And you walk these fairways, you look at the bunker style, you look at that white sand, and the only thing that's different is we've got palm trees here at the Bonita Bay Club, and they got pine trees up at Augusta National. So if you could switch out some trees,
sure,
you'd have even more of an Augusta look here.
Sure, sure. It's, you know, what a great role that Augusta plays for our sport, the leadership role that they have done to lead the game with the drive, chip, and putt program that now they're having the children come in and compete on the range at Augusta and putting on the 18th green and the 9th green. What a great thing the club has done to help grow the game and get children an opportunity to come to Augusta and be involved in drive, chip, and putt. And then Augusta with the Latin amateur and letting that winner join and get to play in the Masters and the RNA and the USGA, you know, forming these amateur events around the country that allow access to the Open Championship. It's great for the game, and it's great to see what Augusta has done with the Augusta National Women's Amateur event that is played the week prior to the Masters. And that's a great event to allow the best young players, ladies in the game, to get to play and be at Augusta. So what a great role they've done to lead the game, to be inclusive, and to allow their facility to be a part of every level of the game.
Tom, how much do you have to do yet, as Cyprus is now back online, but to get the full golf operation up and running after the storm, because there's still two courses that are not back up at 100%.
Right. Hurricane and Ian came through this area, and a lot of damage here. Water got pushed inland for a very small section where the water just got pushed inland and did a lot of damage. And the members here lost over 700 cars that went underwater here just at Bonita Bay Club. The golf courses went underwater here at the main campus. Salt water is now, we're starting to see the pine trees with the salt damage. The pine trees are dying and having to replace grass because the salt is built up in the soil. So devastating event for Southwest Florida with Ian. It was terrible. And a lot of people still struggling with lost homes and don't have a place to live. So the club is working their way through that. We're shy of golf course here. And I know Clay's Golf Construction and Hal Akins, who's in charge of golf maintenance for all the clubs, they've had a crew here ever since Ian, and have been cleaning up the golf course, removing the damaged turf, rebuilding some greens that went underwater and had siltation from the ocean pushing silt onto the golf course and salty soils. So very devastating here for the club, but you wouldn't know it being here tonight in this beautiful clubhouse. They opened up, there was very little damage here, and they were back up and running in 2 weeks' time in terms of food and beverage, but the damage to the golf was incredible. Lost all the golf cart bridges. The golf cart bridges floated off of their piers and broke, so you couldn't get around the property.